Welcome to Joining the Dots, a podcast where we chat and get to know some of the wonderful artists in the Dots and Loops family. My name is Flora, and on this episode, I had a chat with the Dots and Loops 2022 Performance Fellows, and we have a chat a little bit about their experience of these 5 days of working together as part of the residency week so far, what they're looking forward to at the festival, which at the time of recording is tomorrow, and ask them what they're looking forward to in their careers and their lives going forward. So sit back and enjoy. Hi, my name is Flora, co-director of Dots and Loops. Welcome to Joining the Dots. I'd like to start by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the lands on which we're gathered, the Yuggera and the Turrbal people, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. We recognise that music making and storytelling have been happening on these lands for tens of thousands of years, and consider art making on these stolen lands both a privilege and a responsibility. Today we have our 2022 Dots and Loops Performance Fellows in the studio at the end of nearly 5 full days of rehearsals, workshops, seminars and other activities. It's the day before they perform at Nonstop Festival, so we're checking in to hear their reflections on the week so far and what they're looking forward to at the festival and beyond. I'll let each of the fellows introduce themselves so that our listeners can familiarise themselves with their voices.
Hello there, my name is Caridwin Makui. I am from Melbourne, Nam. I play the cello and I also compose. I use looping pedals in my practice and I'm very excited to perform with the other fellows tomorrow.
Hi, my name is Paige Gulliver. I live and study on Gadigal land, Sydney, and I'm a classically trained saxophonist and also a writer.
Hi, my name is Dale Schlapoff. I'm currently living and performing in Mianjin, Brisbane, but I'm originally from Gadigal land, Sydney, and I'm a saxophonist, flute player, piano player, multi-instrumentalist, and I also compose and improvise. I like to explore electroacoustic mediums and soundscapes as a part of my practice through digital software, and yeah.
Hey, my name is Vincent Choi. I'm from Perth, WA, and I'm a jazz guitar student at the Western Australian Academy of Performing Arts, and I play jazz.
Great. Well, we're sort of many days into the Dots and Loops program and we've been through a lot together, I'd say. Can each of you share a highlight from our days together so far?
Ooh, so many highlights. I think so far, I mean, the biggest and most obvious highlight would be getting to know the other fellows. It's been really fun. We pretty much spend 24 hours together. We sleep in the same room together. We are rehearsing together constantly. We eat together. It's a very quick and quick way. It's a quick process of getting to know each other, I guess. It's quite a lot of time to spend with people you just met, so it's been really, really fun. I think also the workshops that we've been doing, working with Rubik's Collective especially, I found that super, super helpful, and learning about certain tech requirements and setups and getting all my questions answered on that regard as well has been super, super helpful.
Awesome. How about you, Paige?
You stole my highlights. but likewise, like getting to know everyone has been really amazing and exciting. It's actually my first time in Brisbane as well. So it's kind of like new place, new music, new friends, all at once, which has been pretty incredible. And working alongside so many very experienced and, you know, obviously professional musicians and sound techs, composers, has been really special, not only, you know, alongside his colleagues, but really getting a super direct insight into, you know, their processes and their development as well, you know, how they felt when they were our age and in our position in their careers has been really great.
Mm. Awesome. Dale?
Yeah, absolutely the same. I've loved getting to know the other fellows. We've had a lot of laughs together. We've had a lot of fun. And yeah, it's been fun exploring the city together and making music. So it's been lovely meeting the other mentors and the kind of sessional mentors that we've had along the way. It was amazing seeing such huge, you know, chamber kind of groups and representation at this, like Rubik's, who we saw this morning. That was such a treat and pleasure to meet them. I've also just loved improvising with other artists on other instruments. Sometimes in your own practice, you can get so used to the sound and timbre of your own music making, and it's nice to branch out and be, you know, next to a jazz guitarist as well as a soprano saxophonist and a cellist. It's just there's so many options and colors that can be explored together. So I've really enjoyed the improvisational aspect. Yeah.
Awesome. And Vince?
Yeah, I actually enjoy improvising with different kinds of musician as well, and I reckon that's one of the highlights because, you know, I came from a jazz background and we improvise a lot. However, we, like back in Perth, we seldom collaborate with classical musicians, and this is actually my very first time improvising with other musicians and kind of like utilizing different objects to improvise, such as, so we had a session with Jody, and yeah, she kind of introduced a brand new way for me and for my fellows to approach my instrument. So I actually put a comb at the back of the guitar, not at the back of the guitar, like near the bridge, and it generates a totally different sound. And I just, yeah, I was inspired by that.
I'm so glad to hear that. I'm sure Jody will be as well. That was Jody Broddle, who took a little workshop with the fellows earlier in the week. And maybe we'll go back this way. Can you share a moment from these few days together that has challenged you?
Well, I feel like the main challenge here is, so we have a session where we got to improvise together collaboratively without any like sheet music or a pre-planned schedule. So we just got to play together for 2 hours. And I reckon the challenge of this session was to play like as an ensemble, because as a jazz improviser, I sometimes just fall into the trap of not listening to others, but rather than just showing off legs or like great lines, yeah, during my solo. But however, when it comes to like improvising together, you really have to use your ears and your whole body to feel what others think.
Mm.
And I reckon, yeah, that's one of the challenge.
Totally. Yeah, we've been sort of thinking a lot about different ways of listening while playing with other people, right? Great. And how about you, Dale? Something challenging from this week?
Yeah, I guess in a similar way to what Vincent just said, you know, balancing different voices so that everyone is equally represented and feels equally a part of an improvisational session can be a hard thing to do, especially when the people you're collaborating with and improvising with are new, fresh faces. And so that was initially a challenge, I think, for all of us. But, you know, over the week and in close proximity to each other, I think we've started understanding each other's sounds better. And it's been something that we can kind of work through and also expand on and improve and enjoy in each other's company. I think another thing was also working with different communication styles. This is a collaborative project. Dots and Loops very much focuses on a collaborative environment. And everyone collaborates in different ways. The kind of information we get from Jo Davey when we are collaborating with her is very different to what we get from Pat Carroll. So the way of kind of switching hats between those two and switching modes and genres, and it's been a tricky one to navigate, but it's been so enjoyable and so excited to share with everyone at Nonstop what we've been working on.
Mm, yeah. And yeah, you touched on something really interesting, that idea of when you first meet other people, and if one of the first activities you do together actually is to improvise. And we talked about this in this first session too, that we were quite polite, you know, we wanted to make space for everyone. And so we probably didn't jump in with as much gusto as we otherwise might want to. And I think as the week developed, we felt more confident in terms taking ownership of, you know, feeling like you can carry the group along and that people will come with you, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And how about you, Paige?
I think a challenge for me was like Dots and Loops markets itself as like a post-genre, I guess, organization. And for me, that's something that was actually quite new. I'm classically trained, and while I've played, you know, certainly some experimental music and some very contemporary music, working with musicians like Joe and Pat has been something that I've honestly never done before. And it's been really, yeah, it was initially quite challenging for me to figure out how does my voice and my instrument, how do I fit in these new like sound worlds and these specific contexts? But I think we've had a lot of time together, and it's something that I have learnt so much from, and I feel pretty comfortable with it now, which is really exciting. It's been a nice development from this week.
Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait to hear you guys tomorrow. The rehearsals are sounding so good. And how about you, Wynn?
I think touching on what Paige and Dale were saying about collaborating with Pat and Joe is, obviously it is a collaboration, but they're bringing in music that they have spent a lot of time on. Some of it's already released, some of it they've, you know, been writing for a very long time, and then they're showing it to us, and we're brand new to each other and also brand new to them. And I'd say that be something that's potentially quite, I would find that quite a sort of vulnerable, I guess, position to be in. And I think being aware of that when they do share with us their music, a tricky thing has been navigating how much to suggest in terms of, obviously we need to be playing with them, so we have to add something, but how much do we change what they already have? And especially in, there've been circumstances where either Pat or Joe have sort of left it quite free. And yeah, just knowing how much to add and without wanting to step on something that is their creation in a way. And I think that's definitely become easier the more we've all played together and the more we've played with them, because you sort of learn to read them more. They learn to read you more. You learn to figure out what people actually like. And there's a little bit less politeness as you go on, not to say that anyone's not polite, but there's a bit less of that. There's a bit more sort of, yeah, actually, I do really like that. Or like, yeah, I really like that idea, but actually, could we try this idea? It's a bit more of a discussion about what we want.
And it's building that trust too.
Yeah, so exactly. You know, exactly. Yeah. It's something that you don't have straight away, and it'd be weird if you did have that straight away. So yeah, it's definitely something that I think has been has been tricky, but in a really good, way. Yep.
Mm, totally. Yeah. And so we've talked a little bit about those rehearsals and workshops with Joe and Pat in preparation for the sets tomorrow. What about just playing together or making music together as a group of fellows? And we haven't got Jen with us right now because Jen's done a separate episode of the podcast having a chat with Connor as the composition fellow. But can you speak a little bit about what that's been like coming together and putting a work together which you'll perform tonight?
Definitely. It's very interesting. I think we all come from backgrounds that have been quite technique and training specific. And it's interesting, we're performing tonight, but we haven't actually played the work, which sounds a bit ludicrous, but we've come up with a really strong concept, and yeah, it is improvised, and you know, we've talked a lot about sections, and we've got a score in a way, but that's been super interesting, sort of knowing that we also will be hearing it almost for the first time along with the audience. I think that's something that's always a bit daunting, but very, very exciting. It's very thrilling. You just don't know what's going to happen, which, yeah, keeps it really interesting for us.
Also, you won't ruin the surprise if you tell people about it, because this podcast won't air until after you've performed it. So if you do want to talk in a little more detail about what you're doing, I'm sure our listeners would love to hear.
Yeah. It's kind of like riding the line between being a bit nerve-wracking that we haven't heard what it's going to sound like. But basically, the concept is that us fellows, Jen included, is, of course, is a part of the kind of I don't know, fellowship collective that's performing tonight at the social. We're kind of putting on these characters and making this kind of dreamt up situation of different characters from a bar meeting each other for the first time and kind of, you know, interpreting that in a musical sense and with musical language. So there'll be quotations from Bon Jovi, the Android ringtone might make an appearance, who knows, maybe subtle texting at the table, drinking. So yeah, it should be a lot of fun. It's a little bit of an out there concept, but we're really excited to share it. And I think it really touches on the kind of spirit of a lot of the collaboration that's been happening between the fellows. I think it's been a lot of fun working together, especially in dreaming up these kind of what could be at first quite silly, kind of gamey improvisation mediums and exploring them seriously and exploring them in a very non-judgmental, lighthearted manner. And I think the stuff we've done has been really exciting and I'm really excited to share it with everyone tonight. I hope it gets some laughs, and if not,
you'll have a laugh.
We'll have a laugh, exactly, and that'll be lovely.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's super important, and I think it's good not to worry about something being silly, because I think the risk with having sort of come through conservatorium training, either, you know, jazz or classical, as most of us have been through, we tend to take our music very seriously, and sometimes you do lose that sense of play and fun in the process of making it, because it becomes a little bit more about, you know, correctness or, you know, virtuosity, and we forget that actually most of us enjoy making music because of the people we make it with and spending the time together and getting to, you know, try new things and have a laugh.
Yeah, that's very true. I reckon, yeah, for music students nowadays, we're just very scared about playing something spontaneously on our instruments. You know, I'm a jazz student, but, you know, we play jazz standards. But if you wanted just to tell us to improvise a piece freely, I'm pretty sure that I would still struggle. However, I think, you know, when it comes to playing music spontaneously is kind of similar to life as well, because life is also an improvisation. Like we're doing a podcast right now, but we know that we're doing a podcast, but we never know what questions Flora is gonna ask.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're literally all improvising at the moment, you know? And I think we should embrace the chance of improvisation as like a like a life journey or something.
I love that. It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I think for me, a big part of this week is also, you know, we're not sitting down with people who play our instruments and being grilled on, you know, our technique or anything like that. And it's meant that I've gained a lot of confidence because I trust in my ability to play my instrument. I've studied it long enough, you know, I've got the skills there. We all do. We're all high caliber musicians. And this week is about getting our concepts and our sounds across without even thinking about that. It's no longer the point. And I think it's been nice being able to like trust myself and trust the music that's going to come from my peers, and know that we've all got that level and it's all going to be there for us. And I think that's a really nice thing that I can take into, you know, all elements of my performance and playing going forward, is not doubting that or thinking about that and just being like, what do I want to get from this music? And in a lot of cases, it's fun and enjoyment. And that's now what I can concentrate on, which is
I'm so nice. Glad to hear that. Something we've also been exploring this week is, even though at Dots and Loops we've divided our sort of fellowship program into a composition stream and a performance stream, we do kind of blur those lines quite a bit. Do you feel any different about where you sit on the spectrum of performer versus composer after these few days together?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, you know, as a lot of people discuss and we've discussed at length between us, I feel like conservatorians and a lot of institutionalized education systems like creating binaries in terms of you must be one or the other. And I definitely experienced that, you know, being, are you a composer or are you an improviser or are you a performer? And it's something that I definitely have struggled with in terms of my musical and artist identity. And I feel after this week, it's been quite validating almost being both and being content at being in the middle and not having to like grill whether I am either a performer or composer or ask myself which one I am more. I've just been able to create, to improvise without an expectation that I must define myself. So that's been a really nice aspect. And it's honestly been like a lot of stress has been kind of offloaded, because I think that's quite a like burden to carry around is always having to define whether you compose or perform or improvise, when in actual fact you can do all three at once sometimes, like, you know what I mean? I don't know. So that's been really nice, and it's something about Dots and Loops in this fellowship that I've really enjoyed and found freeing. I don't know about anywhere else.
I think the nature of this program, we've all sort of said already, is largely based on collaboration, and you can't collaborate, I think, unless you have some form of compositional understanding. Like, it's one thing to be able to play what you want to play or what someone's asking you to play, but it's another thing to listen and try and hear something that's not already there. And I guess in essence, that's kind of what composition is. It's either listening to nothing and making something, or listening to something and trying to add something else. Very similar with improvisation. So I think that it's definitely just cemented for me that performing and composition are just so intertwined. And yeah, like, obviously not everyone has to do both. I'm not saying everyone is inherently both, but I think those of us that feel like we are both are not totally deluded in that regard. Like, you can do both, and actually they're really not as different. And
no, they're very complementary.
They're very complementary, and in a way, yeah, you really do. The
they
skills
nourish each other.
Exactly, yeah, the skills are really intertwined.
Yeah, I think improvisation is just a spontaneous version of composing. Like, when we were collaborating with Joe Davey and Pat Caro, like, when someone has got a great idea and we'll be like, yeah, let's do that, shouldn't we, you know? And yeah, this is all improvised as well. It's kind of like putting some garnishes on top of a dessert of something when it comes to collaborating with different artists, because they have a vision or like a huge composition, right? And we're kind of like the chef that aids the composer to make the dish more delicious. And yeah, I really enjoy that.
Okay, I love food metaphors. And now I'm like doing a little bit of like a deep dive into like, okay, so like maybe like Joe and Pat are like the, you know, head chefs at their restaurant, and you guys are coming in and sort of assisting in the kitchen and preparing your own little
sous chefs
things to go. Yeah, I love that.
In one of the sessions, I think it stuck in my brain. Joe was just like, we'd been playing around with something, and then Joe was like, well, what do you guys think? And it's like such a small question to be like, you know, what do the people performing with you think? But it's not a question you get asked that often in a rehearsal setting, you know, even like, you know, people just don't think about that. And there's not always room for everyone to kind of throw ideas at the wall and see what sticks. And it was really refreshing to me to just like, I kind of was asked that and was like, what do I think? And could, you know, really figure out like, if I was running this, what would I want? What would I do? And a lot of the time it's, well, I want to steal all those ideas and keep those ideas that everyone's put. I have these ones too. And really building something together has been really, really nice and very different.
Awesome. And now, sort of looking forward to tomorrow when we have our nonstop festival, what are you looking forward to most?
All of it? I don't know. Like, I'm really looking forward to performing, obviously. We've spent the whole week preparing for that. I'm also so excited to see everyone performing. Yeah, like the lineup's so exciting. A lot of artists some artists I've heard before, some I've heard of but never actually heard them play, some I've never heard of before. Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it's nonstop, like, you know, it's just, it's amazing and it's all new and it's all right there and it's, you know, it's incredible to be a part of, but it's also just incredible to be able to witness it and watch it. And yeah, I'm just excited for all of it.
We are too.
I'm really excited to get on stage and yeah, be able to finally share this with everyone. And I don't think it's that often that I can say, oh, I'm just like so excited to actually be on the stage and be making the music. And I think because this week for me, as much as we've, you know, developed our concepts and our ideas and our sets, and there's a lot of very regimented things there, I also feel like I have a lot of freedom that I'm going to be able to, you know, use to express myself on stage. And I now also have a lot of trust in the people around me, and I'm so excited to make music with them, but also know that, you know, it's one of those times where even if absolutely everything that went wrong, I like have so much faith that it would just be so fine because we're all just communicating so well and have a really deep understanding of, you know, what we want our end product to be. So that's really nice.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely the same. I'm super excited to play alongside the other fellows and Pat and Joe. I'm also excited to hear their music through like proper big speakers in a big room. I think we've heard it through these like PAs in a really kind of much smaller room, and I'm excited to just hear it to its like full capacity, which is super exciting. But yeah, obviously being on stage, I feel like this week has just been like a massive like build up to this kind of final performance. So actually getting on stage and sharing it with friends, with new people, with you know, Dots and Loops fans already. It's super exciting. Also excited to see a lot of the other acts. Rubik's Cube. Oh my god. Rubik's Collective.
Are you gonna prepare your saxophone with a Rubik's Cube?
Exactly, no. But no, seeing some of their stuff this morning has got me really excited about seeing some of their stuff come through. Also the fact Shandy Party's gonna be there, might have a boogie, which is exciting. And yeah, so it'll be good vibes and I'm excited for it.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to play on the stage. And because, you know, Dots and Loops has been doing a great job on kind of like promoting post-genre series. And I reckon that's one of the problems that the world is having right now. Like, you know, when you walk into a JB Hi-Fi store, you have like music being categorized into different sections. Like you got the rock and roll is here, R&B, heavy metal, and then jazz with only like three or four jazz vinyl records. Yeah. But I don't think that the world has to categorize music that much. I think, yeah, music is just either good or bad. And, and that's what Duke Ellington said, which is one of my favorite jazz composers. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to listen to different artists doing their different things. And so what they called different genres, but Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of why, like, what this series has grown out of, really, is people finding themselves sort of in between categories or genres and going, well, why can't this be a thing as well? So, yeah, that's good. If you had to pick a colour to ascribe to this week, what would it be and why?
Rainbow. And it's not a cop-out, it's because of Jen's outfits. Enough said.
Yep, it's a good pick.
I can't really beat that. That was good.
We can run with that. But your experience of this week?
Yeah, I'm going to pick like a nice shade of purple, a little bit mysterious, a little bit elusive, something special going on in it, and it's just a cool colour, nice. Cool week.
I was going to say like a light blue, like really, I think a pretty like obviously it's been busy, but in terms of everyone's vibes and stuff, it's just been chill and open and free and like a blue sky. I don't know, like the blue sky at New Farm Park, kind of vibes, but yeah. Yeah.
Love that blue. What about you, Vince?
I think I'll pick yellow because it kind of represents passion and we are really passionate. Yeah, about music this week.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. And actually for quite a few of you, I think it's a first trip to Mianjin, to Brisbane, or, you know, a not frequent visit. What's something that has surprised you about this town?
It's very humid. Yeah, and it rains so often. Like we went out to, where did we go yesterday? Yeah, the Zero Fox, and in the middle of our dinner, it just started raining for like an hour and a half. But it never happened, like happens in Perth because it's such a dry place. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, we do get those summer rains.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised by, you know, the nice little underground music scene that seems to be going on here. Everyone knows each other and everyone is so sweet. Like, and all the musicians are like, oh yeah, I knew that person and they're this and this, and just have lovely things to say about each other. Also, the scooters are really awesome. Yes.
Yeah. It's not a bad way of getting around if you keep out of the hillier areas.
Yeah. I was trying to think of something like actually meaningful, but we're staying in Fortitude Valley and that whole suburb has really shocked me. So, yeah, that was definitely a shock to the system. But on a nicer tone, sorry if you live in Fortitude Valley and I've just totally...
It's a very intense suburb.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste for sure. But I think, yeah, I'm similar to Paige, I sort of have a couple of friends in who live here, and they've sort of spoken about the close-knit community that you have in the improvised and more post-genre experimental music scene. But I don't think I realized quite how close it was. I think I always think of the music scene in Nam as being not small, but like everyone does sort of know everyone in a way. But here, I mean, that's not just a saying, that's actually real. Like, it seems like very much, very supportive and very, very close, which I think is super lovely. And I think it's interesting because people feel the need to move to big cities where there's heaps going on and, you know, you're never short of gigs to choose from. And I remember someone was saying a story, maybe it was you, Flora, about having two gigs on in the one night and that being such a rare occasion that you're just thrown into this like, oh my God, which one do I go to? And like, I heard that and I was like, oh wow. Like, but there's something so nice about knowing that there's sort of in your scene, there's sort of a gig on and you know that everyone's going to be there. And I think there's something so nice about that. It's a community that, yeah, it's an idea of community that not a lot of people have as much anymore because there is quite a lot going on, especially post-COVID. Mm-hmm. Feels like everything's happened at once kind of thing. But
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely been interesting to see.
Mm, yeah, we like it here.
I can see why.
Although, I mean, you know, our co-director Kieran has just moved to Nam as well. So, you know, I'm sure there's a lot going for it. And what are you looking forward to sort of playing with post Dots and Loops? You know, have you got plans for the summer, plans for next year? You know, what's sort of on the horizon?
I mean, for me, I think I'm really excited. I've just finished studying and I was sort of a bit like, oh, I need to get right back into studying again. I don't want to lose that momentum. And I think talking to all of the mentors in this program, I've realized I don't necessarily need to jump straight back into a formalized institution in order to get more education. I can do more programs like this. And I think people have offered so many different opportunities that we can apply for that I think my next step is to get better at grant writing and apply for programs like this, not just in this country, but in other countries as well. And yeah, just work on my own practice more, I think. Yeah.
So the next kind of year for me, I mean, I still have my degree to finish. I've got one more semester, which is exciting. But I think this has come at a really nice time because I think as much as we love what we do, studying that intensely in an institution can really tire you out and wear you down a bit. And you sometimes wonder, you know, where am I taking this and why am I doing it? And this has been really nice. I think the next 6 months will be a lot easier because I, you know, have really have a different approach of connecting with my music making and what I want to be doing. And yeah, I mean, after that, like anything could happen. But it's really nice knowing that all the mentors here, you know, they all want to stay in touch. They all have so much to offer us and guide us through. And so I think now the, you know, that kind of mysterious, what do I do when I graduate moment feels way less scary because there's so much out there, but also people to really help you along the way, which is nice.
Great.
Yeah, you know, this is my first year out of the con and, you know, sometimes leaving an institution, it's suddenly like, oh, like, what do I do? And, you know, it's been a really fun year in terms of making new music and doing some collective work with some groups and stuff. And I think this has been a really well-timed kind of little fellowship and experience because I think it's really reinforced that I am really interested in being a part of the new music world and continuing to perform, create, compose and improvise in the scene. I'm moving back to Sydney next year, Gadigal land. And, you know, that'll be a new experience as well. I'm rebuilding a network, keeping this network up in Brisbane going as well. And kind of, you know, exploring, you know, that kind of new relationship between, you know, my place and my craft. And so that'll be really exciting. And yeah, I hope to keep creating new music and, you know, expanding my craft through hopefully more experiences like this, both potentially domestically and internationally. And yeah, just see how I go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one thing that Dots and Loops are good at is they really encourage you to be a curious musician and they really broaden my horizon towards approaching music. So I reckon after this fellowship, apart from doing what I love, like improvising jazz music, I think I will... Can we cut this?
Oh, if you feel you need to, but you can...
Yeah. No, I'm stuck. I don't know how to express myself suddenly. I hope that I will still maintain that curiosity towards different kinds of music, and even though I'll just keep doing jazz music generally, and yeah, I just want to stay hungry, stay foolish.
That's beautiful. And maybe to wrap up, if you have had a question you've wanted to ask one of the other fellows that you haven't had the opportunity to ask yet, please do so now.
Can we stay in touch? Are you asking for my number or?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, either collectively or individually, you know, because we've spent a lot of time working collaboratively as a group, but as some of you brought up earlier in the week, we didn't make a lot of time to share some of our individual kind of interests and work, aside from, you know, in the context of other, you know, like casual conversation or, you know, in the context of music that we're currently talking about or playing. So is there something you're curious about in terms of each other and what you do that you haven't had a chance to explore yet?
I asked some people this morning, you know, but I think it was a good question and I don't think Vince answered it, but it was kind of like, if you could have your ideal life or like, you know, if it's one of those, you know, where do you see yourself in 10 years, but like, you know, the idealistic perfect version, what would that be?
It's a big one.
It's definitely a big one.
Well, Del, when did you have answers that you'd want to share?
My answer was I would like to be living, renting in a studio apartment by myself. And I would like to be able to have some sort of income that allowed me to carve out time for my own practice. And I would like to be gigging regularly and maybe if it's in the next sort of 5 years, have moved to a different city, and maybe have a kitten.
Mm. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, I'd love to, you know, be able to support myself with work in the industry I'm interested in, particularly music, and not have to like work retail and mall jobs to supplement my rent and stuff. So I'd love to be sufficient enough to have, which I know is pretty bare minimum. But yeah, I'd really like that, obviously. I'd love to be gigging quite a bit more and creating and having more of an output. And I'd also love to be able to afford Sydney rent comfortably without having to.
Yeah, I don't envy you that.
Yeah. So anyways, that's a long shot, but hopefully down the line it will happen.
Mm.
And also I want to be able to afford all the amazing gear that I've kind of started listing on this Dots and Loops course and made me realize like, oh, yeah. Damn, I don't have a DI box of my own. So hopefully we'll be able to get
I
that
I think
stuff.
You'll be able to manifest.
You know, fingers crossed. I hope so. Christmas is coming. So, yeah.
I wish I could go to New York. Yeah. Mm. It's a city of culture and it's a city of jazz. And yeah, it's been my dream since I was around when I started guitar, I think. Yeah. I know it's a very hard city to survive, but I just want to catch a glimpse of how it feels like and how it sounds like to me. And yeah.
Mm, yeah. It is one of those cities, I think, that, you know, really capture people's imaginations because of how busy and full and vibrant and noisy and messy and, you know, yeah. So I hope that happens for you. Great. Well, I reckon that was a pretty good chat. Does anyone have any final thoughts they want to throw in there?
Can we cut that part?
No, it was beautiful.
That's fine. Just leave it. I like that.
Come TIV 4 p.m. Sunday. Yeah, it should be good.
Mm, yeah, we can't wait. And, you know, for those listening on air, you know, a few weeks later, we'll have some. Yes. No, it's good practice. You got to learn to plug your gig. But, you know, for those listening, you will be able to check out recorded snippets from the festival on our YouTube very soon. So keep your eyes peeled or on our socials and you'll be able to see the fellows in their, you know, in their element. So thanks for joining us for this episode and we'll see you all again soon, hopefully at a gig or online.
This episode of Joining the Dots is made possible through the support of our partners, the Australia Council for the Arts, Arts Queensland, the Australian Cultural Fund, the University of Queensland School of Music, Simply for Strings and our patrons.
Thank you to our producer Dan Kosolke, Madeline Kokolis, who created the beautiful theme music, and to Chris Perrin for his graphic design wizardry.
To stay in the loop, like and subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also sign up to our email newsletter on our website, dotsandloops.com.au, to be notified of new episodes and hear all about what we're up to.
Make sure you check out the Joining the Dots video tutorials series, which you can find on our YouTube channel. Please share with your family, friends, dogs, cats, barista, and any other art lovers in your life. And thank you dear listener, for joining us on Joining the Dots.